The round of 16 lineup is complete. Seven-time European champions AC Milan will feel like they're back where they belong. A big win against Salzburg sends them into the knockout round. And they're joined by RB Leipzig, who won 4-0 at Shakhtar to deny the Ukrainian side second place in that group with Real Madrid, the defending champions of one Group F, while Benfica pit Paris to the status of group winners in their section with goals galore in Haifa. Lots to get into. Man City's new 17-year-old goal scorer, Chelsea's goal-getting debutant, and much, much more in the UEFA Champions League. I'm Rob Daly, and welcome to our review of Wednesday, the last night of the group stages. This season's Champions League European football expert Kevin Hanchard is with me. Kevin, all done, 2 months, group stage, done.
It was amazing. What a wild ride that was. Lots of great performances, lots of shocks, lots of amazing attacking football. And that was brilliant to see all the way through to the final day when we saw Benfica go wild in Israel with their performance. And we also saw a very strong Milan team as well. So, yeah, it's been fun.
OK, let's go through the scores then from match day six, Wednesday. Group E, Chelsea 2, Dinamo Zagreb 1, AC Milan 4, Salzburg 0. Group F, Real Madrid 5, Celtic 1, Shakhtar 0, Leipzig 4. Group G, Manchester City 3, Sevilla 1, Copenhagen 1, Borussia Dortmund 1, Juventus 1, Paris Saint-Germain 2, Maccabi Haifa 1, Benfica 6. And we'll get into why that is particularly important that Benfica scored six times. But we have to begin in Group E, where Milan were taking on Salzburg for a place in the knockout stages. Here's how it unfolded with Kevin Hatchard and Phil Blacker.
Right footed into a really dangerous area where it's headed in by Olivier Giroud. And it's Milan that make the breakthrough. A hugely important goal, a roar of relief at San Siro.
Great header from Giroud, great corner, but Salzburg should have done so much better.
Giroud did well just to nod it back into the path of Radek Krunic, who steers his header home. And it's a super start to the second half at San Siro for Milan, who have doubled their lead.
The stretch from Giroud to keep it alive is so impressive.
And it's thumped into the back of the net by Olivier Giroud, who races away to celebrate.
Junior Messias to advance into the penalty area, checks back onto the left foot and thumps in the fourth.
In stoppage time, beautifully taken goal by the Brazilian who's come off the bench to maybe have the final say in the scoring. Milan 4, Salzburg 0.
That was just Salzburg going for goal, over-committing and leaving massive spaces.
And they exploited them. Phil joins Kev and myself now. Phil, great night for AC Milan. You could tell the crowd were up for it, singing along with the Champions League anthem at the end, and the players delivered on the pitch for them.
They did. There's been so many great European nights in this competition down the years at San Siro, of course, but this team is still really finding their feet in this competition, and this could have been a nervy night for them with so much at stake, knowing defeat, and they would miss out for a second successive season on the round of 16, but not a bit of it, really. It was a ruthless display from the Rossoneri. It had a little bit of everything. I think it had character at times when they were stretched by Salzburg. They showed resolve, but they showed belief throughout the game. Most importantly, they were clinical when the opportunities came along. They scored at really important times. And they turned what could have been a nervy night into a really dominant display, which bodes well for the knockout stages.
Milan's big players really showed up. Olivier Giroud was involved in all four goals, really strong. Great centre-forward's instinct, scored the first goal with a header that he didn't even have to jump for. And for his second goal, it was just a cross that was only half-cleared, and he was exactly where he needed to be to thrash that ball home. But the most impressive contribution from him is the goal right at the start of the second half, because it's a cross to the far post, doesn't even think about going for it himself in terms of trying to score, just guides it back across goal for Radek Krunic, who comes onto it perfectly. So complete centre forwards performance. Teo Hernandez from the get-go virtually unplayable with those runs from deep. He either pops up in the half space, the inside left channel, or straight through the middle, sometimes on the right. Supposed to be a left back. How are you supposed to deal with that? Those kind of deep runs. So he posed them a problem all night. Tata Rusciano actually made some really important saves as well, backing up the injured Mike Maignan. But Rafael Leao wasn't that great in the first half. there was a spell in the second half when he was unbelievable. Just couldn't deal with him. He was skipping past players. He was going on those incredible mazy runs we know he can, just as he did last week against Zagreb. And it was just a really impressive display. Salzburg, just those tiny margins, didn't take their chances, defended a bit naively, but they'll come again.
It's funny because Leao, not only does he have the pace and the skill, but that strength is ridiculous, isn't it? It feels like when he ran across to essentially make what turned into the third goal, he's so confident in his ability to not lose it that he'll just keep running with it.
That's it. He trusts his technique. He thinks, okay, well, this hasn't worked out for me. I can't shoot at this point. Loads of players would thrash at that. Loads of players would think, well, I've beaten a couple of players now. I'll have a go for goal. Not him. He goes, well, I'll just keep going and something will happen for me. Either it'll open up for the shot or I'll just turn it into a cross. He's a remarkable player.
There was a passage of play, wasn't there? I think it probably lasted about 10, 15 minutes. Would have seemed an awful lot longer for Salzburg, where he was just unplayable. They couldn't get near him. And every time he had the ball, they couldn't get it off him. And that just highlighted the confidence that he's playing with right now. And he is their leading scorer in Serie A this season. But I think everybody else fed off that as well. And it was at that stage of the game where Milan knew they were going through. And it was really, I think, only a question of how many more they might get. And of course, by the time that he was substituted, other key players had gone off by the end as well, with Stefano Pioli beginning to look ahead to the three remaining Serie A games before the World Cup break. Rafael Leao, in that period, had taken the game away from Salzburg, but it was a cameo performance from him in such a collective, impressive team effort. Kev's already mentioned how so many of the big names really came to the party and stood up, but the team ethos, I think, is what will please Pioli the most.
There were big names on the touchline. Paolo Maldini, of course, associated with the club, still on the touchline, and Zlatan Ibrahimovic in a rather fetching leather jacket for much of it, stepping up whenever he could. On to Salzburg. Phil, you mentioned this in commentary. Can you just, the average age of this Salzburg team, can we get to that first?
The starting lineup, Philipp Kern, the goalkeeper, and the captain, Maximilian Werber, 24 years
of
age.
Are the veterans of that team?
By some margin, the two oldest players in the team. Bernardo at 27 came on at half-time, but otherwise the oldest player was 21 in the starting lineup. It's incredible. Two teenagers in the midfield, three, a 20-year-old and a 19-year-old in attack as well. And of course, one of the youngest coaches in the competition, in Matthias Jeisler as well. But we've seen, I think, from them all season long, both domestically, but also the way they've stepped up in this competition, as they did last year as well. There's a fearless approach. They respect the opposition, but they certainly aren't scared of them. And they were always going to take this game to Milan. They needed to because they had to win. Circumstances dictated that, but I don't think we would have seen any other display, even if the roles had been reversed and it was the visitors just needing the draw to go through.
It becomes a kind of virtuous circle the way Salzburg operate, because what happens is they go to the best young players in Europe and say, if you come to us, you'll get game time, we'll put you on a big stage and you can develop. And that's how it happens. So they get amazing young talent out of it, and these young talents get a stage, because there are lots of clubs around Europe where some of these guys would go and you'd see them off the bench every so often, or you'd see them kind of, oh, well, we're going to hold him back because he's not quite ready yet. Salzburg just go, okay, just play. And they, you look at Kjærgaard, he's 19. He played like he'd been playing at places like San Siro for 10, 15 years. They've got some real talents there, and Jeisler is a very smart guy. The system he's put together, he's just added his own little twist on what Salzburg usually do. It's very impressive.
The second youngest team in Champions League history tonight, after Arsenal back in 2009. The other game in the group was Chelsea against Dinamo Zagreb. Dinamo Zagreb beaten by Chelsea by 2-1. They took the lead through Petkovic. Raheem Sterling levelled, very composed goal on 18 minutes. But then Chelsea's midfielder Denis Zakaria, on his debut, was pleased that waiting for his opportunity at the club has finally paid off.
Yeah, I'm a player. I like to play. I always want to play. And yeah, when you have to see your teammates in the tribune or in the bench, it's not so easy. But I was always behind the team. I always want that win every game, and I was waiting for my chance. And today my chance is coming, and I take the chance.
Dennis Zakaria scored the winning goal on the night, Chelsea winning 2-1 at Stamford Bridge. They'd already won the section prior to tonight, Kev, but in reflection, an impressive comeback. Obviously dismissed Thomas Tuchel after the match day one loss to Zagreb, to come back and win the group fairly comfortably.
Yeah, they're a very good side. And I thought the way they played against Salzburg last week was very impressive. It's not easy to go there and play like that. And they scored a great winner as well. They have world-class talent in that squad. They've got a very good coach in Graham Potter, who's generally made a good start. I think they will be a very different side when the competition returns to what they are now, because he'll have had time to think about how to get the best out of these players. What he is a problem solver. He's not a guy with a set philosophy. He will look at ways to get through games, and he will kind of create a toolbox, if you like, and he can say to players, right, we're going to play this way today, we're going to play this way because we're playing against these guys. And I think once he's downloaded all that information into the players, they'll be a much better team, I think.
Let's hear from Graham Potter.
Yeah, really, really pleased. Like you say, not the ideal start for us, but the character of the players was good. The responsibility of the players was really good. So got ourselves back in, and then overall played quite well. You know, attacked well, had some good chances, was positive. So really pleased to get the win. Really pleased to finish off in a positive way.
Chelsea finished with 13 points, Milan with 10, Salzburg 6, and into the Europa League for them. Dinamo Zagreb bottom with 4 points and out of European competition. In Group F, Shakhtar knew if they beat Leipzig, they'd make it into the last 16. Any other result would see the German side through. Your commentators for this match were Daniela Fischer-Keller and Stephen Wyeth.
Inside the penalty area, Timo Werner again forces a save out of the goalkeeper, but the rebound is straight into the path of Christopher Nkunku.
The Frenchman is so clinical on the rebound, and he buries it into the bottom corner to make it 1-0.
Round forward from left back, clips it into the penalty area where it took a flick, might yet come to something as it's headed back across the face of goal. And oh, it's gone in! An incredible goal! Simakan back across the face of goal, and it more or less struck Andre Silva and crept in at the near post. Poke through pass here for Szoboszlai, who looks to go around the court, around the goalkeeper, and has come up with a brilliant finish as the angle tightened. Dominik Szoboszlai makes absolutely sure of Leipzig's victory.
And another assist for the complete striker that is Kunku. He scores, he gives assist, and Leipzig are through to the next round.
They've scored again, RB Leipzig. Extraordinary. Just moments after the alterations were made. Extraordinary second half.
Sadly, that goal for Dani Olmo has actually gone down as an own goal. Bondar own goal, 68 minutes. The goal that sealed the 4-0 win for RB Leipzig. 4 group stage wins in a row, Kev. An extraordinary way after losing at home to Shakhtar match day one, losing, no shame in that, Real Madrid match day two, to turn it around and pick up 12 points to qualify.
I think this is a really big result for the club, but specifically for Marco Rosa, because he came in with the club low on confidence, strangely reminiscent of what happened last season, if you think about it, because they made a poor start under Jesse Marsh last season. Domenico Tedesco came in, steadied the ship, ended up winning the DFB Pokal, which is the German Cup competition, their first ever trophy. This season, we all thought Leipzig are back. They're going to push for the title. Didn't happen. Again, another poor start. Rose has come in, but there's something different. There's something different about this team under him, because they have gone back to those kind of Leipzig basics of vertical football, high press. But he's changing the way they can operate. They can have possession. They can take breathers in games now. It doesn't have to be crazy all the time. And they have one of the top players in world football, in my view, in Christopher Nkunku, who is scoring goals pretty much every game. He's making them as well. He's such a danger that he's creating space for others just by being there. And it's a unit that's really coming together. So I think there'll be a danger. I think there's nobody in those group winners that would go, yeah, we'd fancy playing Leipzig in the last 16.
Let's hear from their attacking midfielder, Emil Forsberg.
Yeah, I think we get a good start. We scored after 10 minutes, I think. It was important for us, but then overall, I think we played a really good game. We were
stable, we were aggressive, we didn't let them come too many chances, and we won 4-0, so we can be proud of the achievement, we are through. And yeah, we didn't start good in this group, but now we finished good and we're through, so it was very important for us.
Yeah, he came on for the injured Timo Werner, who's having his ankle injury assessed. He came off in the first half of the game. Quick one on Shakhtar, Kev, your thoughts on what they did in this Champions League group stage campaign out of their home country, playing their home games in Warsaw?
I cannot give them, you know, enough credit. They have been amazing representatives for their country, amazing representatives of themselves, of the club. To have got that result alone in Leipzig with all of the disruption, with all of the distraction, everything they're going through emotionally, I just think is amazing. I think it's one of the stories of the competition, and I think they just deserve the most enormous credit for the way that they've approached it as well, because obviously they've been hugely disrupted domestically with their league as well. So to come up with that level of performance, it's really quite staggering.
Speaking of high levels of performance, Real Madrid beat Celtic 5-1. Carlo Ancelotti had Benzema on the bench, coming back from his injury, of course, but went as strong as he could in terms of his starting 11. Did not want to risk losing top spot, and they had to win because Leipzig won, and they did. A comprehensive performance from them. Modric and Rodrigo with penalties in the opening 21 minutes. Celtic then had one saved by Thibaut Courtois, a penalty down at the other end awarded by Stephanie Frappard. Then Asensio, Vinicius Jr., Valverde with another long-range goal. He's really in the habit of getting those. And then Jota with possibly the best goal of the night. A free kick for Celtic that beat Courtois from about 20 metres out. Carlo Ancelotti, by the way, has equaled Sir Alex Ferguson as the manager with the most wins in Champions League history. And Valverde, just unbelievably good again. UEFA's player of the match. Great win for Real Madrid, Kev.
It is. And I think you look at last season, and I think we accept that it was one of the most extraordinary runs in Champions League history. The way that they, backs to the wall in almost every tie, found a way. They're different this time. That's given them just ironclad belief that they can go on and win this again. And I wouldn't be surprised if they did. They have incredible depth everywhere you look in that squad. They have the world's best goalkeeper in Thibaut Courtois. And Vinicius Junior is getting better all the time, his decision making. I love Rodrigo. That guy is an amazing performer in clutch situations. Like, he's just nerveless. Nothing scares him at all. They've still got all of that quality with Kroos, with Modric, all those guys. It's a brilliant squad.
So Real Madrid top that section, RB Leipzig in second, Shakhtar third and into the Europa League. Celtic, we knew this before the night, already out of a European competition. Two more groups to touch upon. We'll go to Group H in Italy. Juventus hosted Paris Saint-Germain, wanting to finish a disappointing group stage on a high with a chance of Europa League football as well. John Bradley was watching.
Juventus have given the ball away here, and it's Mbappe who skips away from the challenge of Gatti on the edge of the penalty area and bends one beautifully into the back of the net. It's a stunning individual goal from Kylian Mbappe. That's Locatelli across goal and the header down and into the net. It's a brilliant goal by Juventus to level the game, and it's Leonardo Bonucci, the oldest swinger in town, who pops up inside the penalty area to tap the ball home. Mbappe moving the ball on to Mendes, who's only just come onto the field, and he scored. What an astonishing introduction with a quarter of the game to go. Juventus 1, Paris Saint-Germain 2.
Despite the big win, a massive win away to Juventus, it means that Paris don't top the group because of what happened in Benfica. And I'll get to this now, because it's worth explaining that on goal difference, goals scored, points, head-to-head, everything, Benfica and Paris Saint-Germain were level. So it goes down to goals scored away from home in the group stage. And John Bradley, Benfica, after winning 6-1 at Maccabi Haifa, have more and have pit Paris to top spot.
The seventh tiebreaker we've got down to there, Rob. Yeah. It's an astonishing feat, and no one can begrudge Benfica finishing top of this group, because we've been very lucky to watch them. I've watched them three times in the group stage, commentated on them. And just like last season, they've been a breath of fresh air, selling Darwin Nunez. And
then using that money to recruit really well, bringing in the likes of Enzo Fernandez, who's been brilliant in midfield, and then just using the abilities and the talents of the players they've got, promoting Antonio Silva from the youth team as well. And you know, under Roger Schmidt, playing this high tempo, high octane football, and yeah, really excited to watch. More than match Paris Saint-Germain home and away, and then obviously after what happened in the last round on match day 5, they were 4-1 up against Juventus. They could easily have been 7 or 8 up against Juventus in that game. Such was their dominance. They then lost 2 goals as Paris Saint-Germain went goal crazy against Maccabi Haifa. And you thought, well, that's it. And Paris probably thought, we've just got to turn up, win the game in Turin, which they did. But they've got into the dressing room. And watching the players come out to do their media commitments and the coaching staff as well, there is a look of almost shock on the faces of the Paris players. What I would say, Rob, is that anyone who thinks that that will, you know, if you're second in your group, that an easier draw will be to face Benfica rather than Paris, do not think that, because this is one very good side. And if they go into the new year, into February and March, playing the same way as they have in this 2-month group period, they could go very deep into this competition. But in terms of this game that we've seen, Juventus without 10 players, fully committed, full of fight, really tried to stay in it, had plenty of opportunities, didn't really trouble the goalkeeper enough, Donnarumma, had a couple of moments as well. It was his touch that led to Bonucci levelling the game up. But then Nuno Mendes comes off the bench, Christophe Galtier had a look around, went to his substitute left back, he comes on and scores with his first touch. Sandy, when you've got that knack, isn't it?
Certainly is. Let's hear from Kylian Mbappe describing his goal, which opened the scoring in tonight's contest.
I'm happy. Leo gave me a good ball. I try to make a dribble. That's work. After I look on the goal and I score, and I'm happy. I help the team to win, and that's the most important thing.
Youngest player now to score 40 goals in Champions League history. 23 years, 317 days. Kylian Mbappe, what an impact in this competition. Kev, let's do one on Benfica. A 6-1 win at Maccabi Haifa that just sees them top the group. What a team. And the brilliant moment, João Mário scored in added time, asking coaching staff, subs, is that enough? Have we scored enough to beat them to top spot?
It was a great goal to seal it. Really well struck. He's been outstanding for them. To go and win 6-1 to top a group is the most Roger Schmidt thing ever, because it's a great vindication of his approach to football. So he's an engineer by background, and the reason he plays this front foot style is he says it's about turning the numbers in your favour, because otherwise if you sit back and you try and get every game to be really, really tight, your chances of winning are lower, because the chances of those tiny moments in the game going against you is greater. So he sees it purely as a statistical calculation, but the byproduct of it is they're amazing to watch, and they can hurt you. All the best teams, I always think, can hurt you in lots of different ways, and that's absolutely what Benfica are at the moment. Gonçalo Ramos can get you in the air. He's strong. Rafa Silva has amazing movement. João Mário from distance. Alex Grimaldo's got a wonderful shot on him as well. They're a great side.
Yeah, Grimaldo scoring a free kick. Rafa Silva, Araujo, Peter Musa and Ramos all on the score sheet. Haifa did get level through a penalty in the first half, but they are beaten and they're out of Europe. Juve move into the Europa League spots. Benfica top, Paris second, Juve third, Maccabi Haifa bottom of the group. Kev, one group to do. This was all sorted out before match day 6. Manchester City had already won the section. They've beaten Sevilla 3-1, coming from behind to do it. But Rico Lewis, the youngest player in Champions League history to score in his first start in the competition, breaking the record held by Karim Benzema. Not bad for a right back.
There are moments that remind you why you love football, and that was one of them. The sheer joy on that kid's face when he scored was just a joy to behold, because, you know, he's waited for an opportunity. They've talked about him in glowing terms at Manchester City, and he's been in squads, and he took the goal very, very well for such a young man.
To make it 1-1, I mean, yeah.
And you'll never take that away from him. Even if he does nothing for the rest of his career, he can always say to people, oh, I scored a goal against Sevilla in the Champions League and broke this record.
Like you can believe it when it went in. Rafa Mir actually put Sevilla ahead. Lewis levelled after half-time. Julian Alvarez made it 2-1, and then a brilliant goal from Riyad Mahrez. City already top. Sevilla already into the Europa League in third. Dortmund 1-1 draw at Copenhagen. Torgan Hazard with the goal there to give them the lead. Haraldsson scoring, and it means that Copenhagen do get their goal in the group stage. But they are out of European football for the season. Dortmund march on into the draw. Okay, Kev, Phil, John, it's time to reflect on the best moments in the group stage, all done in a couple of months. Phil, do you have any particular favourite moment stories from this season's Champions League?
I think one of the stories has to be Club Brugge in a really difficult group, which when it was made, it was tough to predict who would go through. And they won their first three games. They didn't concede in their first four matches, and they qualified for the knockout stages for the first time in 10 attempts with two games to spare. They kept five clean sheets in the section. Yeah. I think it was a stunning underdog story, including notably that 4-0 win at Porto. I had the pleasure of commentating on a match day two, which I think is one of the performances by any team in the group stage.
Well, for team of the group stage, it's got to be Napoli or Benfica, both playing this really high-power, high-octane brand of football. Really excited to watch. Really dynamic player of the group stage, Rafa Silva by a mile. Absolutely electrifying in that Benfica side, and really Rogerschmidt getting the best out of him. They both have been a joy to watch through this group stage, so much so that Napoli could put their feet up on match day six at Liverpool. And then Benfica, of course, provide the most dramatic of moments in stoppage time tonight.
Tells you a lot that I've changed my mind about three times.
Go on.
But I'm going to go for Eintracht Frankfurt because it's their first ever group stage campaign in the Champions League. They've reached the last 16. They did it in stirring fashion on match day six, coming from behind in Lisbon to beat Sporting. Rondal Kolomouani, who's been outstanding for them this season, with the winner against Marseille on match day five and then the winner against Sporting on match day six. And they're having a real golden era at the moment. This is history in the making because they won the Europa League last season. They've reached the last 16 of this competition. They're pushing to qualify for the Champions League again through the Bundesliga. And Oliver Glasner, their coach, is already a living Frankfurt legend because of what he's done. If he left at the end of the season, they would remember his contribution forevermore. And knowing them, they'd sing about it.
Okay, so the draw is on Monday at the House of European Football, UEFA's headquarters in Neon, Switzerland. The ceremony begins at 12 o'clock CET. I've got to give a shout for Maccabi Haifa beating Juventus. That was unbelievable in Israel earlier in the group stage. So many wonderful moments throughout the course of the competition. And I'll just do this quickly. The teams that are seeded: Napoli, Porto, Bayern, Spurs, Chelsea, Real Madrid, Manchester City, Benfica, non-seeded teams, Liverpool, Club Brugge, Inter, Eintracht Frankfurt, Milan, Leipzig, Dortmund, Paris Saint-Germain. The first set of teams are stronger, but there's some absolute humdingers you could get drawn with in the unseeded sides. Let's turn back to one of those teams who are unseeded, AC Milan, their striker Olivier Giroud, with his thoughts on how Milan will get on in the knockout stages.
We are very humble, you know. It's been 10 years the club didn't reach this stage of the competition. So no, we play our football, you know, with humility, but with a lot of confidence. And we will see the draw, you know. But you never know. On two games, anything can happen. But now we will enjoy it first before thinking about the draw and also keep focus on the three last games of Serie A.
Olivier Giroud speaking there. AC Milan's hero in the UEFA Champions League tonight. Got two goals, made it happen for them as they progress to the knockouts for the first time in 9 years. RB Leipzig join them in that round of 16 draw on Monday. That is all we've got time for tonight. My thanks to John, to Phil and to Kevin Hutchard. It has been another dramatic night of unexpected action in the UEFA Champions League. We now know the teams through to the next stage of the competition. A reminder, you can follow it all on UEFA.com. The round of 16 draw, midday Monday, 7th of November. Then the UEFA Champions League is back on Tuesday, the 14th of February. The podcast will be available immediately after that and after every match night throughout the rest of the competition. So make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.